You're listening to The Aaron Carrera Show. And now your host, Aaron Carrera.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. It is me, your host, Aaron Carrera. You are indeed listening to The Aaron Carrera Show live on 1-2 Radio. It is Thursday, February 22nd, 10:02 a.m. And if you're over on Instagram, I'm also broadcasting live on 1-2 Listen Aaron on Instagram at this moment in time. Yep, no makeup or anything, just me. Just me and maybe the sunlight. I am so excited to be here with you all today. We have been going through a series that I've been calling Using Acting Tools for Life. Basically taking all of the ways that actors use all of their tools to create characters, to create wildly fascinating and complex and real characters. We can use those to deconstruct our own lives and improve our lives and help us understand better relationships with other people, things that we do that surprise us, who we are, who we want to be, how do we grow into the version of ourselves we want to be. So last week we were talking about listening and we left off in the middle. So I've got some notes and I will be picking up where we left off last week. But first, a little bit of business. So if you like this show, it is brought to you by me, Aaron, at 12listen.com/Aaron. That's Aaron with an E, E-R-I-N. And I would love to work with you if you want to come find me via phone, chat. I have a lot of what we call email-based services, and those are everything from tarot readings to personalized EFT tapping sessions to recorded messages to my number one most popular email-based service is called One Wonderful Question. And people ask me a question, although sometimes they try to sneak in five or seven, and that's fine. That's totally fine. I may not answer specifically all five or seven, but what I do is I have a process where I meditate and then I channel based on the questions you're asking, the energy at the moment, what you need to know, how you can grow from this, how to move forward with what your questions are, so that it's not just like, okay, who's going to win the Super Bowl? It's more like, let's use this question that you have in your heart, in your mind, weighing on your soul. Let's use this as an opportunity to really grow yourself into the version of yourself who has the life you want to live. So that's actually my number one most popular email-based session. And if you are watching this on Instagram, hey, Quelly, if you're watching this on Instagram, if you go click on the link in bio, you'll see, you know, it has all sorts of all the different things I do, but about midway down, it has chat with me or not chat with me. It has book a life coaching session with me. I want to listen. And it doesn't have to be used for life coaching. It could be used for astrology, straight psychic reading, chakra balancing, Reiki, energy work. We could use it to help you do some guided meditations to get in touch with your guides. So many things we could be doing, but it's a supremely discounted price. It's 50 minutes for $200, which is a real steal. So I like to tell people about that little Easter egg because then people who are listening to my show or watching it on social media get, well, rewarded for listening to the show. Also, if you want to chat with us, the royal we, if you want to chat with the royal we, if you want to chat with me on Facebook or on Instagram, first of all, if you want to chat with us via the 1-2 Radio group, what you'll do is if you're at 12radio.com, you will come on over. You'll see a little, if you're on the page, you'll see a little sign that says chat with us on Facebook. It'll bring you to our 1-2 Radio group. If you've never joined, just ask to join. We'll welcome you right in. And if you're listening live, you'll see pinned to the top of the page, my banner for my show, The Aaron Carrera Show. And in the comments section is where we will be chatting and you can ask questions. You can talk about listening. You can talk about times that you didn't feel heard or that you didn't feel listened to. You can talk about challenges you're having and how the heck do we apply this listening thing to this particular challenge. I welcome that kind of stuff. Actually, I really like it when people give me a little challenge like that. And I see Renee and I see over on Instagram, if you want to come find me on Instagram, it's 12, like the number 12, 12 Listen Aaron. So it's 12 Listen Aaron and I'm live. And hi, Quelly. So I'm literally waving. So it's so fun to see all of you here. I'll just refresh my little Facebook page too in case somebody else is over there and they want to, they've said hi and I missed them. So yes, hello Quelly over there too. So everybody, let's take a moment, put our hand on our heart, take a deep breath in. And just let it all go with a sigh. See if you can just make yourself 5% more comfortable, right? Like, is your neck a little stiff? I want to sing that song. Is your figure less than Greek? Is your smile a little weak? When you open it to speak, are you smart? That's not really what we're talking about. That's my funny Valentine. But is your neck a little stiff? Is your grip a little weak? When you open your mouth to speak, do you cough? I identify with all three things I just said. Then don't change a hair for me. Be you, it's all I want you to be. Stay funny, Valentine, stay. Each day is Valentine's Day. Yes, if you've never listened to the Erin Carrera Show before, be prepared because I do break out into song. And if you're one of those people who says, I don't like musicals because they're not like real life, all I have to say is you just have not hung out with me long enough to go to the grocery store and seen, an interesting fruit that caught your gaze and heard me go, we got bananas on the shelf, we got tomatoes on the floor, we got apples everywhere, but what don't we got? We don't got grapes or whatever, like I can adapt any musical theater song to my particular situation. I don't know about any. I can find a song that matches any situation I'm in. And it could be musical theater, it could be pop, rock, R&B, country, folk, classical, sacred, new age. Trust me, hang out with me. Life is a musical, because life is a cabaret, old chum. I'm sorry, I'll stop. I'm not sorry, but I'm like, let's move on. Everybody, can you make yourself a little more comfortable? Can you take a deep breath in and let it go? And can you just, for a moment, if you want, I invite you to close your eyes. I've got one hand on my heart and one hand just sort of caressing my legs. But I invite you just to feel, like just focus your attention on the bottoms of your feet. Just feel what they're feeling. Notice if you focus your attention on the bottoms of your feet, what do you feel? I'll give you an example. So, for example, the bottom of my right foot is touching the ground, and I can feel the support of my little. I'm wearing Chuck Taylors. So actually, they're Dickies. They're Dickies that they look like Chuck Taylors, but they're Dickies. But I can feel them. I can feel the support of the shoe kind of pushing up against my very high arch. Like it's not, my arch is really high, so there's usually like a big gap. And I can feel this shoe has a little more support, so I can actually feel it at the very like ball of my foot and the heel of my foot. Now, why is that interesting? It's not, but it's to show you, like, oh, that's what I'm feeling on my right foot. Just notice the sensations. Take a deep breath in. Ah, let it go. Now imagine with your next breath that you could actually breathe into the bottoms of your feet. There's a thing we call the wellspring, right? The wellspring at the bottom of your foot, just sort of where the ball of your foot meets the arch of your foot, meets the arch of your foot. That is an energy source for you. Can you feel the burbling spring of energy right there at the bottom of your foot, right there, sort of where the, yes, it's where the ball of your foot meets the arch of your foot. There's a wonderful spring of energy. Can you feel that energy just lighting up at the bottom of your feet? Take a deep breath in and out. And now, can you encourage that energy to bring light and burbling energy and lightness and joy up through the bottoms of your feet, up to your calves? Take a deep breath in. And as you breathe in, you can feel the energy from the bottoms of your feet going up to your calves, up through your calves, up through your knees, up through your thighs. And then as you exhale, you can feel that energy going back down. Okay, we're going to do it again. We're going to take a nice, slow, deep breath in through the bottoms of your feet, and you can feel that wellspring of energy, that burbling light, joyful energy coming up through the bottoms of your feet, through your ankles, your calves, your knees, your thighs, up through your hips, up through your stomach, up through your abdomen, up through your back, your sides, pulling your spine up, pulling your spine up, all the way through the top of your head. And as you exhale, you can feel the energy going back down. Now we're going to do that one more time where we're going to pull the energy up from the bottoms of our feet. We're just going to let that energy gather all the way up the body, all the way up through the top of the spine, pulling our spine straight along. Okay, so take a nice, long, slow, deep breath in through the bottoms of your feet, up your legs, up through your torso. You can feel your arms relaxing, or maybe like mine, they're doing some sort of dancer movement as the energies pull up through the crown of your head and release it. Now I want you to just for a moment, put your right hand over your heart and your left hand over your heart. And if your eyes were open, just close your eyes for a moment. Just for a moment, I invite you to pay attention to the way your body is made of energy and cells and pieces that work in concert with each other. And I invite you to notice a lightness about your body. A dancing light, a dancing energy, a dancing joy. Even no matter what's going on, you have access to that dancing light, to that dancing energy in your body, no matter what's going on. When you have your hand over your heart and you invite yourself to pay attention to the light in your body, to the dance of your body, to the energy of lightness, then you can access that lightness of energy. And I invite you then, holding that lightness of energy in your consciousness, like I have my left hand out now, I'm holding it in my consciousness by keeping it in my left hand. Then I invite you to just scan your body for anywhere you feel darkness, heaviness, dead energy, old chi, fear, pain, stickiness. Sticky chi. So just scan your head, your neck, ding, ding, ding for me, your lungs. Take a deep breath in. Scanning your left arm, your right arm, your back, your torso, the left side, the right side, your left leg, your right leg. Anywhere you feel, remember you're holding that lightness and that dancing energy in your consciousness, and it lives throughout your body as well as wherever you're holding it. I'm holding mine in my left hand. Invite some of that light energy to go into the areas where you feel a little pain, where you feel a little darkness, where you feel a little dead heaviness, where you feel cramped, put upon too much, where you feel the darkness needs to wake up a little. You don't have to force a thing. We're inviting the light energy to dance its way, right? Like a cosmic dancer, like that wonderful song by T-Rex, Mark. What's his last name? The lead singer of T-Rex, Mark Bolan. The Cosmic Dancer song. I'm going to look that up while we're talking. Because it's an invitation. It's an invitation to your body for that lightness of being, for that lightness of energy, to enter into the dark spaces, to enter into where it just needs a little more oxygen, just a little more breath, just a little more lightness and joy. We don't have to solve all the problems of the world or your world today. We merely invite some of that lightness of being into our hearts, into our necks, right? And I wish I had the song, but I've got some lyrics in front of me. If you've ever heard that song, I was dancing when I was 12. I was dancing when I was 12. Right? Do you know that song? I danced myself right out the womb. I danced myself right out the womb. Is it strange to dance so soon? I danced myself right out the womb. I was dancing when I was 8. I was dancing when I was 8. Is it strange to dance so late? Is it strange to dance so late? You know, last week we talked about dancing, and I just think there's so much value to remember. You don't, You might be at the office. You might be in not in a position to dance. Your body may not be able to move, but the cells of light that are a part of the co-creation of who you are can be invited to dance, and that dance can be in your heart. And the dance could be joyful, or the dance could be a dirge if you're grieving or you're going through a hard time. The dance of energy through your body is a part of the process, can be invited as a part of the process of healing. And you know, I don't plan these. Sometimes I plan the meditations, but I don't plan the meditations. I allow them to come to me. I listen to what wants to be said, like we're talking about today, listening. And then I allow it. And I feel like maybe we just need to remember that sometimes we don't need to sit and talk, 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 right? The chickpea, neither a chick nor a pea. That's Linda. Linda from Coffee Talk. What's her last name? Did you ever watch Coffee Talk back in the day on Saturday Night Live? Linda Richmond. I think it was Mike Myers plays Linda Richmond. Oh, I love that sketch. So, good morning, Kay. I see Kay joined us in the chat room. So, I invite you, everyone, now take one last nice, long, so deep breath in and let it all go with a little dance. Let that energy be set free. And open your eyes if you haven't already and come be here with me now. I'm so excited to have you all here with me. And today we are continuing to talk about how to use tools that creatives, actors, writers, filmmakers, dancers, theater actors, film actors, the tools we use to create characters, how do we use that to create a great life? I was inspired to do this. I mean, I'd been thinking about it for a little while because it's such a wonderful application of some amazing, all an actor or someone who's writing specifically like theater or film is doing is studying human behavior and then putting humans into really intense situations and seeing, you know, what happens and then giving them an arc. Of course, usually most things have some kind of arc. In modern day Hollywood, most arcs are the hero's journey, and we'll talk about that at the end. But it's really interesting to use that for your benefit. And I was inspired by all of these amazing movies that are out for 2023 over the holidays. I know we're already at the end of February. Today's George Washington's birthday. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, that's many people's birthdays, but that's the one that comes to mind. But there were such great films. I have only two films from 2023 left to watch. But I loved Anatomy of a Fall. I loved Poor Things. I loved American Fiction. So great. I cannot wait to watch Past Lives, which I'm going to watch tonight. But there's so many movies with such amazing acting, such amazing writing, such amazing life. And the thing about movies and TV and literature for me, and really good music and really good dance, is that it's sometimes sure it's, you know, cathartic, but for me, a lot of times it's all about the soul. It's spiritual. It's do I, what do I, what do I find myself just loving and falling into? What do I find myself resisting? And what does that tell me about my consciousness and who I am and what I believe? And do I want that to be a part of my consciousness or not? Right? It's all to me a continuation of the examination of what it means to be alive, what it means to be a human, at least in my case, because last I checked, I'm pretty darn human, for better and for worse. Absolutely. Also, I'm a flawed individual, of course, like we all are. I mean, I know it's popular to think that we're perfect as we are, but I think there's danger in that. Not because there's something inherently wrong with us from the point of view of, oh, you should be ashamed of weighing 5 pounds more than the chart says you're supposed to weigh. Not that bullshit, but you know, like we can get engaged in behaviors that just aren't reflective of our highest good either. That's my point. So the first week we talked about being in the body. The second week we talked about environment and how to use your environment to create the life you want. Now, for those of you who are super into like being clutter-free, I mean, if you're watching on Instagram, you can look behind me and you can't really tell. But I'm not concerned about clutter-free. My house is pretty cluttered right now. Although we are doing a purge on like all of our old DVDs and CDs for the most part. Mainly because we do have too much stuff and I don't want to be a hoarder. Like, I do have boundaries, sort of. Like, having a cluttered house has never prevented me from being creative. Personally, for some people, I'm sure it does. It's personally never prevented me from being creative, accomplishing an awful lot in my life. It has prevented me from having people over, depending on who those people are, of course, because some people don't care. I care if people come over that my house is clutter-free, and probably what I'll do is shove everything into this, my little studio office, and then not let anybody go in there. Although it's where the instruments are. So if it's somebody who wants to sing, then we have to come in here. Sure, maybe someday I'll get that figured out, but I just don't let it stop me. But I do have an environment where I have everything available for my creative and psychic and spiritual life. I have my station where I do my readings and where I have my cards set up in a sacred way. And I have my instrument area where I have my instruments ready. I have our gym, which used to be our living room. Not anymore. Now we have a gym. Oh well. Eventually, maybe we'll get, my husband and I, it's just the two of us, but we really sort of need a 5-bedroom house, I guess, for a music room, a psychic room, a gym, a bedroom, a guest bedroom, and then our living room. I don't know. But my point is, last week we started talking about listening and how, why is listening hard? And we started getting into why it's valuable to be a great listener. But there's a lot of reasons why. I wanted to pick up where we left off last week. So, hey, hi Sonia. Hello, Oliver. We have more people over on the Insta. So, why is listening hard? Okay, well, first of all, for me, it used to be hard, less so now. I'm one of those people whose brain moves a million miles a minute. And ever since I quit coffee, I'm not kidding, it moves even faster. You would think coffee would make your brain move faster, but for me, I think it's one of the signs of the ADHD or something. Stimulants actually get my brain to kind of go down a little. Whereas whenever in my life I've tried to do weed, which is not my thing, actually it makes me nauseated and throw up and have pain. Like, it does the opposite to me that it's supposed to do. But also, I think the way I am naturally is how most people are when they smoke. And no judgment, you should do whatever's right for you. But whenever the few times I've tried to smoke, in addition to feeling nauseated, which is not fun, and a few times throwing up, my brain goes so insanely fast that it's scary. That it's like, oh my God, am I going to lose my mind? What if my brain goes as fast for the rest of my life? Because it's already going really fast all the time, except for, and I'll get to that in a second. And I've had people say, like, oh, you just didn't take the right dose. And I'm like, you know what? There's no dose that has worked. During quarantine, I was taking extremely low dose THC to try to help with my anxiety. And instead, I was throwing up every day. And I started thinking maybe I was pregnant, which didn't really help with the anxiety over, in the very early days of COVID. Like, oh my God. It's like, not only are we going through some sort of unknown international pandemic where people are dying and I can't leave the house, but now I'm pregnant? No, it just turned out that I have a problem with weed. Thank God. I mean, not thank God, it would have been a blessing, but at that moment in time, it would have been like even more stress. Oh my God, right? So, how did I learn? So my point being, sometimes listening is really hard because if you're like me and your brain goes really fast, sometimes it's really hard to slow yourself down to the rhythm of now, to the rhythm of a conversation. Sometimes it's very hard to stay present to what's happening before you. How did I solve that is by body scan meditations and by finding reasons to listen, right? Reasons to listen, to be of service, to use listening as a form of love. There's love languages, right? There's gifts, acts of service. I'm doing them in my order. Gifts, acts of service, quality time or touch. Let's do them in my order. Gifts, acts of service, touch, quality time, words of affirmation. Right? Those are the five main love languages. There's other love languages. We talk about them at length on this show and many others. What if listening was a love language? Of course, hint, it is. It's a huge love language for everybody. Everybody wants to be listened to. Everybody. Everybody. Maybe not everybody wants to be listened to by everybody, right? Nobody wants Big Brother listening to them. Nobody wants the phone listening to them. Nobody wants the neighbors listening when you're trying to talk about them. If, of course, you do. I've heard some people do. But on the other hand, everybody wants to be listened to. So if you consider listening as a love language, listening as an act of service, listening as being on one side of the coin of words of affirmation, in a way, because you're listening to their words, listening is really important. Listening is a skill, of course. Anyone who's hung out with kids knows that listening is a difficult skill. And then there's so many different ways to listen. So, for example, I want you to listen to what I'm about to say, and I want you to notice every time you hear a plosive, a P, right? A plosive consonant, like a P, a T, all right? Because B, B, right? Because the other day, my poppy and I went shopping for papayas. And because it was not the season for papayas, in the end, we had to settle for the pits, right? It's interesting. Like, if you're just listening for the plosives, like, what are you really hearing? Are you hearing the content? Maybe it helps you focus, right? Now, my brain goes a zillion miles an hour. So whenever I play that game to get myself to listen and to focus, like in school when I was in eighth grade or something, and they were talking about something kind of boring that I didn't really want to. It's not, I love learning. So if somebody's talking about history, or somebody was doing something like that, great. But a lot of times, oh well, I don't need to insult my teachers, but I had some amazing teachers growing up. But I also had some that was like, why are you talking about this now? Why? Hi, Jay. So what I started doing is I started listening for the letters. Like, okay, I'm gonna listen for 1 minute to all the words that, you know, so that required me to spell the words they were saying and listen for the A's, right? I mean, it's just a game to get yourself back on track. So we're gonna talk about ways to become a better active listener, but I want to talk about other ways of listening too. I want you to now listen to what I'm saying, and I want you to listen as if you were listening to, as if you had gone to the Hollywood Bowl or whatever orchestra hall is in your town. If you were down at listening to the, you know, Minnesota Orchestra, or you're at the New York Philharmonic, or you're at a beautiful concert hall, and I want you to just listen to what I'm saying as if you were listening to music. Not music that you know and you're gonna dance or sing to, although maybe you do because you're so moved, but more like, yeah, I'm just listening and allowing the words to wash over me as if it were a guided meditation. Because Aaron is about to tell me that you are loved. You are loved and you are beautiful and you deserve joy and you deserve happiness. Right? That's a different way of listening. Being a good listener, you know, why does an actor listen? Why does a great listener make a great actor? Because it makes you more present to the other person. So now that's the thing about acting. When we're really riveted by an actor, even I guarantee you it's because the actor is riveted by their attention being taken by the person in front of them or the thing in front of them, right? Like when you think about Tom Cruise doing his own stunts, thinking about, I haven't seen the Mission Impossibles, but I saw the latest Top Gun. And he's doing those stunts, and it's amazing that he's putting himself through them. But you want to know what's so riveting about them? I believe, and not that we have to do this for ourselves to show love in our lives and have a better life, but because all of his attention is focused on what he's doing. He has to be that present, or else he'll die, and or maybe some crew people, right? He has to be that present. So when you're watching such an amazing scene, the actors are totally focused on what's happening. And maybe they're hearing what's being said and maybe they're not, right? Maybe they're listening to what's being intended. Maybe they're listening to the subtext. Maybe they're not. Well, that's all humanity. That's not just actors. You know, most of us, we're at the store, like I was just, my husband and I went for a walk. We went and grabbed a coffee before the show. And we walked in, and the women working at the coffee shop were laughing uproariously. And I loved it. It was walking into joy. And I didn't want to interrupt their joy, but there we were. So the woman behind the cash register had to say, "Welcome to Starbucks. How may I help you? Or if you have any questions, let me know." And of course, she was just still in the joy. She was still just saying the script. And she didn't mean even to transfer the joy to us. It just couldn't be helped. She just had to transfer the joy to us. Ciao, Georgia. She just had to transfer the joy to us. The joy just had to come. It just came. It's the same. Right? It's like she was just sharing. Now, the subtext was, now there's a lot of subtext that could have happened, right? The subtext could have been, "I'm in so much joy that I'm just going to allow it to fill the whole space." Or it could have been like, "Oh, well, no, I've got to get to business, but I'm not going to let you take my joy, crazy customers," right? So I didn't want to stop the joy. I almost complimented her. I almost want to say, "Oh, I love walking in when somebody's laughing. I love it." But I didn't want to be I'm really weird and overly warm and fuzzy. So, like, I know not everybody's, probably this lady would have been totally fine with it, young woman. She would have been like, "I know," 'cause she was in that space. But a lot of times, if I'm like, "I'm hoarding in on your joy," because joy spreading is wonderful, right? So be interested. What if something's not interesting? What if you're in a conversation, you're in a work meeting and it is boring as fudge? Well, you can still be interested. You can find, trust me, you can find a way to be interested. You could say, "How do I become interested? What are 10 different ways in this moment I could get interested? What are 10 different things I'm not hearing, I hadn't heard this person say before? What are 10 things that I can take away from this talk," right? Be curious. You want to learn to hear what's not being said, right? Now, people who, for example, I have a friend on the spectrum, and that's a different way of hearing because not all, but many people on the spectrum, depending on where they are on the spectrum, are hearing not subtext. They take the words at word value, right? They take the words at the value of the word itself, which is a whole other conversation because words have multiple values, right? And words have multiple values given different contexts, different traditions, different communities. I mean, a Macintosh in England means something very different than a Macintosh in Minnesota, right? A Macintosh in Minnesota is an Apple or maybe a computer. Although who calls their computers Macintoshes anymore? When I was little, we had a Macintosh 2C. Oh my God, right? But no. So I'm just saying, like that adds a, that's a different layer. But for those folks who anyone can learn to listen to subtext, right? You really can learn to really listen. It's not about just being quiet, just shutting up and not interrupting, although that can help. Although sometimes also it's just really important to ask the right questions. Ciao, Becky, right? So I feel like one thing about listening, yeah, it's awesome to be engaged, right? But one thing that can help us become a better listener is to actually speak a little less, even than is necessary. I'm not saying withhold power. I don't mean it that way. I know that in the 48 Laws of Power, I think it's from that book, they say like speak less than necessary makes you look more powerful. Well, okay, fine, sure. But it's more like if you allow yourself to not need to respond unless truly the spirit is moving you. Now, if you're already in spirit, wonderful, that's great. But you're really allowing someone space and time, and even allowing for a little bit of silence in the context of that space and time. That allows you to learn how to listen for, give a little room and space for the things that are not being said, for the things that are about to be said, and you almost allow permission, right? You allow permission for someone who's maybe holding back, but wants to or needs to express this thing to you. And you just Just give a little bit, if you wait just a little moment longer and then allow them to speak, that might give someone the permission to really say the real thing they've been leading up to. Listening, the art of listening, it's really, it could be a whole series here. Another skill that you could employ is to ask supportive questions, right? So, that's a skill into itself, right? An important, a very supportive question. If somebody's sharing a difficult experience with you, first of all, letting them know that you have compassion for them. That sounds really hard. That must be very frustrating. Oh my God, I'm frustrated on your behalf. I mean, that's a personal thing to me. Like, you just saw my little nostrils flare. Really putting yourself in their shoes. Really putting yourself in their shoes and really being like, wow, how would I feel? Like, can I allow myself to imagine myself in this scenario and see what it might be like for me? Right? Another technique too, and I know this is very much about affirming the other person, but when you're affirming the person in front of you while you're listening, sorry about speaking of listening, they changed my trash collection day to Thursdays. So my wonderful city workers are here helping us with a little problem called recycling. Anyway, so if you hear the noise, it's not thunder. Thunder, lightning, very, very frightening me. Galileo. Anyway, sorry. ADHD brain, speaking of listening. So, very much when you're affirming the other person, when you're listening, it's not just about affirming the other person. What you're doing is you're syncing yourself up to them. You're connecting heart chakra to heart chakra, maybe third eye to third eye. I don't know that that's always valuable. Because you do also, it depends. We can talk about that too. But allowing your heart to remain connected to their heart helps you deeply understand the other aspects. Human communication is so much more than just the words, right? Yes, it's body gestures, hand gestures, facial gestures. And it's not just like, oh, well, she was smiling, she was happy. I mean, obviously we all know we're far beyond that, right? Like, it's more like when you are connecting heart to heart, you're feeling more of them, right? You're walking in their moccasins, you're feeling more where this other person's coming from. You're gonna learn a lot more. You're gonna learn a lot more about them, about you. You're gonna improve your relationships. You're gonna improve your ability to understand what needs to be done if you're in a work situation, right? Depends on who you are. In a way, being a great listener is like being a catcher, right? If you know baseball, maybe not everybody here knows baseball, but like in baseball, if you play in the outfield, your whole thing is to catch and throw, right? So any game where we're playing football, whatever, like if you've ever played throwing a ball back and forth, toss the ball back and forth, listening is kind of like that, right? Listening is like catching. Listening is like catching the secrets within the words, catching the nuances of what these words might mean to a person or to you, catching what's just under the surface, catching. It's like leaning over a lake and looking into the water as the water becomes still. And as you look in the water and the water becomes still, you start to see all the little fish catching by. That's what it's like to listen deeply. You are listening deeply and you're allowing your own self to become still. You're allowing your own mind to become still so you can see all the little fish under the surface. So you can see the seaweed and the beautiful, like the sea flowers popping up because the water has become so still. Well, that water is your mind. That water is your chatter. And you are listening deeply so that you can catch all of the little things being said. So you can catch all of the little, oh, you're really listening and you're really applying. Again, why? Well, first of all, it's an act of love. Second of all, you will learn so much. That looked like I was flipping you off. No, two fingers. If you're on Instagram, you are learning so much more about yourself, right? You're learning so much more about yourself, so much more about the other person. And you're just equipping yourself better. I mean, what a wonderful thing for someone to feel actually heard, right? What a wonderful thing for someone to feel actually heard. So, I just want to check on my little notes about other reasons, other ways for someone to feel really deeply heard, right? Have you ever heard that phrase, holding space for someone? It's another a form of listening. Now, of course, that's my whole, not my whole job. That's a big part of my job. People call me, and I'm not judging them. I'm listening. And trust me, at this point in my career with One to Listen, I've kind of heard it all. There's very little I could hear that would surprise me. Now, there have been people who have called me to try to scare me, but I'm like, I mean, trying to scare a psychic is sort of like, I feel bad for you. Like, what are you doing with your life? I've had people tell me some really things that were for them, their secrets, their shame, and I don't judge. That's not my place. My place is to hold space, to listen through the heart, to have a heart space, and through that heart space, allow someone to feel seen and heard. And then, depending on what they're looking for, yes, offer the psychic insight that I'm channeling, or depending on what they're looking for, right? Depending on, I'll respond accordingly, depending on what someone seeks, what they're looking for. But what's interesting is that listening has actually made me a more loving person. You know, when someone's really holding space for me, I feel so good. And I love to offer that to other people. And it really builds beautiful bridges between my heart and other people's hearts. So I encourage all of you to really see if you can use some of the skills I'm about to give, some of the tactics and tools, to see if you can listen differently, more intently, more presently. Just try one of these skills coming that I'm about to list today or over the course of the week and just see. So here's like an example from my own life. And it's not really about listening, but it's kind of similar. So I'm a very, very busy lady, right? And I'm super busy right now. And if I think about it, I get overwhelmed, which is why I'm gonna just not think about it. I'm just gonna drink my cold chai tea latte. So it is cold now. Also, it's a little too sweet. I mean, I love chai, but I don't put sugar in my tea, so I got this one from Starbucks, like a little too sweet. So there I was in the middle of my walk, doing my workout, power walk, and I'm listening to my favorite spiritual teacher talk while I'm doing my walk because, of course, I'm multitasking. I don't always walk and listen. Sometimes I just walk and listen to the birds up and down the street that I live on. But this time I was listening to my teacher, and then I heard like a whoo-hoo, like a little whistle, and I was like, I know they're trying to get my attention. I'm gonna ignore that person trying to hit on me or that homeless person asking for money. And I heard hoo-hoo, the whistle again. And I was like, I bet it's my husband. And I looked up, and walking toward me was my sweet husband. And I had a whole agenda this morning. I was gonna listen to my teacher and go for a walk, and I was gonna do yoga. There was my cutie. And he looked so cute. He had a little beard going, a little scruff. And he gave me a big hug. And we just started walking together, strolling hand in hand, just having a nice little stroll. And now this is similar to what we're talking about with love. I didn't have to be anywhere until I came here to do my show here on One Two Radio. I thought, what's more important? My agenda to make sure I get my yoga in, or going for a nice little walk and talking and listening and being. And this is an example for all of us because really listening is like that. We all have our mind's idea of, and sometimes we really don't have time. Sometimes we really do have to go pick the kids up from school, go to work, of course. But how often do we think we don't have time because we have to rush to make sure that what, my house is decluttered? That the dishes are done, the dishes I could do after lunch. that I pay my taxes today, I could do it tomorrow. I'm not saying we procrastinate. Trust me, I'm not a procrastinator. I'm the opposite problem, right? I'm like having to learn in middle age, like, no, if you want relationships with friends, family, you got to make time. You don't make time for friends, you won't have them. You don't make time for love, you won't have it. You've got to make time. Listening is similar. When you get an opportunity to listen, I encourage you, if you can, just to commit to the, even if you're already a great listener, you might be like, Aaron, I don't need this. I'm a therapist. I work with you. I want to listen. Whatever. I get it. I totally get it. But on the other hand, what if you knew there was some wonderful, magical, deep learning miracle or gift for you coming and listening? I promise you there is. Okay? There is. The deeper you listen, a gift shall appear for you. The more you lean in, a gift appears. Sometimes the gift is spiritual. Sometimes the gift might just be a stock tip. I don't know. Might be practical sometimes. But listening. So, number one, this one is hard. Listen. Actually listen. Only listen. And do not multitask. Hard. Yesterday, my parents are visiting. My mom and dad had my sister and I over for lunch. My parents wanted to tell us some things, just talk. And we ate lunch. And then we listened. And we didn't check our phones or wash the dishes. We just all sat and listened. And we held space for each other. We held space for the person, the people who were doing the talking for the most part. And it was an incredible experience. And if we had been trying to do that on the phone or multitasking or trying to do it while washing dishes, we would have had to stop washing the dishes because it was a very deep and intense discussion that we had to have and wanted to have as a family who loves each other. I feel that in this increasingly busy world, trust me, I love looking up fashion, fashion tips 2024 on TikTok as much as anybody else. But taking it, I don't want to blame TikTok, but taking the time to really listen to your partner, really listen to your friend, really listen to your kid. I don't care if you're multitasking while you're listening to this, that's fine. I get it. It's like, nope, I'm at the gym, or I'm driving and running errands, or I'm cleaning the house, listening to a podcast. That's beautiful. But when someone is speaking, what if you just once this week, if normally you would also be, clearing out your email, surfing the web, creating a grocery list? Sometimes, sure, I get it. I mean, that was me in high school the whole time. Well, I wasn't creating grocery lists in high school. I was fantasizing, living in a total fantasy world. Who knows what I missed out on? Of course, the worlds I created in my brain. Just focus on what the person is saying. Just once this week when you don't want to. See if, okay, you might remember, like, oh my God, I have this impulse to look at Instagram while this person's talking. Here I am on Instagram, right? I have this impulse to multitask, but what if I just don't? God, my life got so much better once I still multitask. It's a thing. But the more I've committed to doing less and doing it just one thing at a time, again, maybe I'm not just washing the dishes, but you know what I mean? Like when I started just watching and not being on the phone. Just reading and not trying to walk on the treadmill and read. And then I couldn't walk on the treadmill anymore because the treadmill was boring. And then I had to quit the gym and start walking outside. And win-win. Well, not for the gym, their money. Win-win-win-win. Okay, number two, another skill you can employ while listening to people. Repeat back what they're saying. I know it might feel disingenuous. Like if it's almost like if someone says my name too many times in conversation, I feel like they're a used car salesman, right? Although I do have friends who are used car salespeople and they're lovely. So, but it's like, yes, Aaron. And then Aaron, I like your shirt, Aaron. I mean, I get it. I'm not the greatest with names all the time either. I'll remember all the emotional details of your life. But your name, I don't know. It feels silly, but it is magic. If someone says, I am so angry at that decision you made, and you say, you're angry at the decision I made. I know they just said that, but they know that you're listening. And that will go very far in resolving the conflict, right? Okay? It shows that you are listening and that the other person is being heard, right? If the other day, for example, we had strawberry shortcake, my favorite dessert of all time. Oh my God, it was so good. Erin, did you want more strawberries? Did I want more strawberries? Yes, indeed. Right? It's like you can, if you don't want to start with high stakes situations, start with low stakes situations. Like, did you want more strawberries on your strawberry shortcake? Do I want more strawberries on my strawberry shortcake? I do. I do. I really, really do. You really do, huh? I really do. I know it sounds silly, but what you're doing is you're retraining your brain to communicate with the person you're talking with that you are actually listening. And in so doing, you're training your brain to actually listen because you can't repeat back what they're saying unless you're actually listening. Okay, number three, ask questions. Probing questions. Do you really believe that? Is that, well, what do you really think? Right? I mean, you're not trying to, we're not trying to like prove a point or shame people or make people feel bad. You want to ask questions that really help you and the other person better understand, right? Better understand what's really happening here. Listening is, you know, listening is not the same thing as just agreeing. So if you don't agree with somebody, there is a respectful way to ask a question, right? Like, I can only think of some pretty extreme examples, but like, oh, if somebody were to say, I just got like, okay, before Me Too happened, right? Before Me Too, if I told somebody about a time I was sexually harassed, I would say invariably, not all the time, more than half of the time, the person I was speaking with might have said, okay, but like, how were you looking at the person? Were you looking at them with like big blue eyes? How were you dressed? You know, I mean, maybe you just don't understand that you're very open and men find that attractive, right? They would have victim blamed a little. A lot, actually. It happened a lot. It happened a lot. That's not a nice way to listen, right? A better way to listen if somebody's getting sexually harassed might be, I'm really sorry. Are you feeling safe? What would it take for you to feel safe now, knowing that you're out of that situation? How can we help you feel safe moving forward? Oh, you do feel safe. I'm really glad you feel safe. Are you angry? You know, what do you think? Ask your heart, what do you think your heart really needs right now? Right? They're like, maybe the heart's like, I just need to feel heard because I'm angry. Or maybe the heart's like, I really need to feel safe. Right? And I need to feel safe more than right now. I need a hug. And then I need a weighted blanket. Would you buy me a weighted blanket on Amazon? I don't know why it's turned into buying you, somebody a gift, but you know, whatever. I'm just coming from where I'm coming from. My love language. Let me buy you all. Look under your chairs. You get a weighted blanket, and you get a weighted blanket. I wish I could do that. I wish I were such a fairy godmother. I could just go, and then you each get a weighted blanket under your chairs. Because I'll tell you, my weighted blanket changed my life. Okay, so we are coming to the end of the Erin Carrera show, and next week we're going to talk about the acting tool of moment before and how we can use that in our day-to-day lives to better our lives. And if we have time, we'll get into lots more tools. But I love you. I've loved sharing this time with you. If you want to come find me at onetolisten.com/Erin, I'd love to talk with you. I'll be available in about 5 minutes. If you don't see me, please make a callback request or schedule an appointment or just reach out. We'll find a time to talk. And until next week, I love you. Bye-bye.